We are joined on the line now by Kathy Kelly. She's with Voices for Creative Nonviolence out of Chicago and has just written an article, Stop Tightening the Thumbscrews, a humanitarian message about the situation in Iran and a plea to end the sanctions, or at least to call off temporarily the sanctions against Iran. And I wonder if you could talk about the current situation in Iran. I understand that it is one of the hardest hit by the coronavirus at this point.
Well, it must be so alarming for people in Iran right now. The rates of people that have died have gone up. Just yesterday it was 988 people, and now it's 1,135 with 17,361 cases. And, you know, it's so reminiscent of the time when people in Iraq were just slapped with horrible economic sanctions, and then they weren't able to supply healthcare for people, even as they were also reeling from the conditions of warfare that the United States had waged against them. And it seems so clear to me that the United States is taking advantage of the pandemic to further emphasize what the United States thinks should be the borders, or who the United States thinks should be in charge of a country. And to me, that's a really despicable thing to do. I think it will bring a great deal of resentment toward the United States from elsewhere in the world at a time when we so much need to cooperate. And also, you know, just in a very practical way, there are millions of Afghan people who've migrated into Iran. With the terrible economic decline and the pandemic, they're understandably wanting to cross back into Afghanistan, but there isn't testing at the borders reliably administered, or people are finding ways to circumvent the borders. And at any rate, it means that 50,000 people have crossed into Afghanistan from Iran, bringing most likely higher incidences of the COVID-19 virus to Afghanistan. And their healthcare system, their food distribution system, has been gutted by all of the years of war exacerbated by the United States aerial terrorism and many, many ways of afflicting people in Afghanistan. So what I wanted to write yesterday had to do with saying, yeah, self-distancing, you know, let other countries say, could you kindly get your bases out of our country and, you know, maintain a distance from us? And then recognize that our prescriptions for self-distancing and hand hygiene mean nothing if you're living in a refugee camp fleeing from wars.
I was just reading a report in the San Jose Mercury News talking about how the Iranian state TV journalist, Dr. Afroz Islami, cited a study by Tehran's prestigious Sharif University of Technology offering three scenarios that if people in Iran fully cooperate with the social distancing measures now, Iran will see 120,000 infections and 12,000 deaths before the outbreak is over. If they offer medium cooperation, there will be 300,000 cases and 110,000 deaths. And if they don't follow any guidance, it would collapse Iran's already strained medical system. And if medical facilities are not sufficient, there would be 4 million cases, up to 3 million deaths. And this reporting is going on after Iran's state media had tried to downplay the situation. Now it seems they are recognizing the seriousness of it, while recognizing as well the lack of medical care that they have in the country. Are Iranians taking the social distancing seriously now? Have there been religious leaders that have stepped up to ensure that people are engaging in social distancing? And is this sufficient, or what other measures need to be taken by the world in order to support Iran through this crisis?
Well, I imagine it's understandable from the perspective in the United States of seeing how scattered and variant the different states across the United States are, or the different religious perspectives' responses to the virus. And so an article was in the New York Times this morning about political disputes breaking out between various camps within the Iranian political milieu. And I think that's predictable, and we've seen very similar things happening here. But one thing about people, you know, placing their faith in deities and religious dogma is that it sometimes can sideline the scientists, and that can be very, very, very dangerous. And we've seen that in the United States. We can certainly see it in Iran. So what can be done internationally? I mean, as I understand it, the Iranians have asked the International Monetary Fund for a $5 billion loan. And I had read that the United States was trying to interfere with that. But it seems like it'll be crucial to practice as much generosity as possible toward the people who are at great risk and are facing the most severe repercussions, but also, to look in the planet, look in the world. Where are the people who are most impoverished? And how can we share resources with those people? And that's why I think about in the time after World War I, in fact, in the beginnings of the war and throughout, there were Quakers who just raced to get to the borders of places where people had the highest risk, the most suffering. And then they wrote just the most heartbreaking and tender accounts of what they had seen and heard, and they, you know, experienced great risk themselves.
Thank you, Kathy, for that, and I hope that people will listen and take that to heart at this kind of unimaginable time. Thank you, Kathy Kelly, for joining us on KBOO.
Thank you, Jenka. It's always good to hear your voice. Thank you.
And this is Jenka Soderberg reporting for KBOO Radio.